welcome, everybody. It's good to see you all. It's good to see smiling faces. We were talking earlier as we were praying that we have to smile with our eyes, don't we? So I can see lots of smiling eyes around me, which is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have smiling eyes. It says in your word that your eyes range to and fro across the surface of the earth. You look into our faces this morning with smiling eyes, and you welcome us here. Thank you for that welcome. Amen. And we can be part of the welcome. Thank you for those who've welcomed us at the door, those who've welcomed us with music. I just have one notice this morning. I don't know if anybody else has got a notice, but I'm just going to borrow this, if I may. We have one important notice. Liz is a very generous person, and she likes to give things, and she's often with the family and Connie's on there making cakes, and which is lovely. But this is a wonderful gift for somebody. It's a bag of golf balls. There must be somebody who would enjoy having a bag of golf balls. So if it's not you, you might know somebody. And so Liz is longing to bless someone with a bag of golf balls. So if you think, well, yes, I'd like to take up golf, or I lose an awful lot of golf balls, this is for you. All right? Thank you. It's a good day when that's our only notice, isn't it? But anyway, there you go. So, welcome to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And you thought you were just coming to Witness Tree. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that this is a present reality, that we are in the city of the living God. We're in your presence. We are righteous because of the blood of Jesus. We've put our trust in you. We are forgiven and cleansed, made right with you. Our names are written in heaven. We join the firstborn, Jesus, as those who are precious in your sight. And so, with all those blessings, with every spiritual blessing that is ours in Christ, we worship you. We worship you, Jesus, the Word of God the Father, from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory. Let the land and sea rejoice. Sitting or standing, let's worship soon with song, I'm sure, but for the moment, just joining in with others singing. And it is by your grace that we worship. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Open arms, open heart, and my being all yours to the very last day, the very last hour. oh God, we know you do you, that you looked upon us poor and in our sin, lost and without hope, and rescued us and brought us into your glorious family. Thank you, mighty Lord God. Thank you.
Lord, I want to thank you that indeed we are free in Christ. Lord, we do not walk those slopes of Mount Sinai where the thunder and lightning roar and the law was given. We now walk the slopes of Mount Zion, Lord, where we're free and the kingdom of God reigns. We thank you, Lord God, and we thank you for Jesus.
Amen. Rest in the goodness of the Lord for a moment, just to be still. With those words, thinking at the end of that song there, you are forever mine. And all those words were addressed to you. You're our Savior, our Father, forever. But Lord, I thank you that you say them to us. You are forever mine. Let's just rest in that a moment. Lord, you know the things that are worrying us, the things on our mind, things coming up this week we've got to do, or people we've got to try and help, or whatever's going on. Lord, I pray in this moment we will know we're held by you, and nothing is going to happen this week that we face alone. You are there with us, walking beside us, sometimes carrying us. We put our trust in you today. Lord, we thank you for your grace that has saved us and your grace that holds us. Amen. In some ways, Sunday morning is meant to be a bit of a taster. And we need time to be still in the Lord's presence. And we get a bit of a practice on a Sunday. But hopefully coming up, as things change, on a Wednesday evening, we're going to have time just to be in the Lord's presence without any sort of limit on time or things we have to do. And that would be another taster for us. Some of you may well be used to just being in the Lord's presence quietly at home on your own or with others. But for others of us, it's quite a new thing just to be still and to be quiet. And so there's a number of things that will happen through the year as God moves us on to get used to being still and being quiet and resting in him. We're going to come now to our reading. And children, I have something specific for you to do afterwards. But as this reading is being read, you might want to help bring it to life. Andrew's going to read it. And adults can join in with this as well if they like. But you'll see, as you'll hear, as Andrew is reading, the reference to a number of parts of our body. So you might want to point to them or shake them as you hear them referred to. So Taya and Paul and Connie, keep your ears open for these parts of the body. And I'm going to be looking to see if you've got any of them. I think you have. Over to you, Andrew.
Well, it's on page 1153. We're reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, and chapter 12, starting at verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. It would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you! The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you! On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and the different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Could we have a round of applause for our reader today, please? Not many people know this, but I think that's exactly how Paul said it. Paul didn't write his letters. As you probably didn't realise that, or I didn't realise that until I went to theological college. Paul didn't write his letters. Only at the very end, by my own hand, I signed this off. He spoke them to a scribe who wrote them down. And I can imagine him just getting really passionate like that, and this guy next to him laughing his socks off, having to keep, you know, to write it down as he was saying it. So we've just heard Paul, in, you know, 2,000 years ago, say about the body. And so the body of Christ, we are all parts of the body of Christ. And so I've got a little task here to accomplish. Leslie, could you help me here? Could you be my gluer, please? Now then, we've just heard there is one body and many parts. Now I'm just going to go and collect some body parts. I've actually got that on my notes today. Collect body parts. It doesn't sound very nice. Oh, thank you. Thank you. What have we got, children? What's that? You see it? What is it? It's an arm. We have an arm. Thank you. Yes, in a moment, if you know where the right place is. I've got something over here. What have I got over here, Pam? Pam? Get us that. Oh, right. Oh, dear. This is going to be tricky for Leslie. We're making a jigsaw puzzle. Here's another arm. Oh, Angela. Angela's got one. Oh, here it comes. Here it comes. Ah! Oh, you missed it. Like leaves falling from an oak tree. Right, what have we got here? A leg. A leg seems to be more easily understood than an arm. There you go. So, Leslie's going to assemble the jigsaw. Oh, what have we got here?
Another leg.
This body has now got two legs. I want you to stick up the blue. Makes it on the blue card, if you would. Yeah, stick up the blue card. Oh, you can't get the staff, can you? In a nice big background, see? So we have a leg. It's quite tricky putting this jigsaw puzzle together. Do you want to point up to the side a bit, then they can see how well you're doing or not? And that's the whole point, darling. I don't want... I didn't give Leslie any warning of this, but the children haven't had any warning of this, so why should you get any warning? Right. Have we got another bit of the body? Good. We've got another bit of the body. You don't know what it is. It could be that way up. It could be a beer barrel. It's actually that way up. It's someone dressed in clothes. So what part of the body is that? What do you think? It's his body. Now look, top and shorts. It's like you when you play PE. Okay, so normally, children, I get you to do this, but we can't do it with COVID, so we have to have people I'm allowed to be close to. And I'm allowed to be close to my wife. Have we got one more bit of the body? Am I missing one bit? What bit haven't we had so far? Oh, you all know that. Isn't that good? They know you, Stephen. Stephen's got the head. Excellent. I didn't mean to leave that till last. That worked out very well. So, what's that? What's that called? A head. Have you got a head, Connie? Has anybody here not got a head? Has everybody got a head? Look, do you want to come to one side so they can see how... Come up a bit higher, darling, that's right. So, we've almost got a body. Could you see that body? Could you see that body there? Okay, so, I'd like to finish off. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Excellent. We'd like to... hold this up, please, and we'll have a round of applause for our sticker, please. I'd like to show them over there, and I'm going to show them over here. So, we have a jigsaw puzzle in your pack today, and you're going to be constructing the jigsaw. Okay? You've got glue, and you've got a bit of card, just like Leslie has done over there. We want you to stick your jigsaw puzzle together, and then you can colour in your body after you've done it, all right? We're thinking about all the fact that the body of Christ is made up of lots of different members, and you'll hear me speaking about that in a moment. Now, what do we do with our bodies? Pardon?
Feed them.
Feed them, we do that, but what things do we get up to? We put clothes on them. This body has some clothes on. But what do we do with them?
We wash them.
This is all very boring. I had in mind we play football or we... What else do we do with them?
Run
for a bus.
Pardon? Run for a bus.
You run for a bus. Yes. Or you drive a car. Or you go skiing. Or water skiing. Snow skiing. Sailboarding. What's that? Duck racing.
Sack racing.
Yes, sack racing. So after you've constructed your body and made your jigsaw... I'd like you on another bit of paper just to draw your body doing something. It could be going riding, it could be throwing it could be archery, it could be whatever you fancy doing. Because a body is designed for action. And so after we've finished what I've got to say, we'll see what your bodies are doing. It could be anything you like, right? So make your jigsaw, if you would do. So we could see how the body needs lots of different members to make it one body. And then have some fun with what your body is doing. Okay, over to you guys. Do open your packs and go for it. And if you need any help working out where the pieces go, you've got it all there for you. You could come and compare notes. So this lovely body is made up of a bit of Angela, a bit of Pam... Stephen, Zach, Peter, and Josie. So the and that's the point about us coming together today, isn't it? We are all part of... Before we come to what I'm going to say, just to have a quick look at each other. Just have a quick look. Members of this wonderful body. And we'll all wave to those on the balcony. I know you can't see certain people down the bottom. That's good. Wonderful. We are in a new season. God is doing a new thing. Do we see it? We've been taking a fresh look at Jesus, reminded of the fact he loves us, he's our Saviour and our Lord. We've been looking at what it means to be a disciple, his disciples, and we've been asking the question, do I want to be a disciple of Jesus, who makes disciples? It's an important question to ask and answer. Last week, we considered how God is remissioning the church, sending us out to join him in his world, meeting people's real needs, sharing the gospel, making disciples. How are we going to do this? What is God's plan? Is there a silver bullet? Is there a way that this is all going to happen? It's going to sort it all out. There is no new silver bullet. There is no new scheme or plan. God's plan today is the same as it's always been. It's his people being true to their calling to be the body of Christ, doing the things that he did. We are his, show me your hands, his feet, his ears, his eyes, and his mouth, and also his arms. I know we can't do that at the moment. You see, you can't do it, can you? You've been used to, I can't do that. Just do that. You can hug this way. Yes, you can. You're allowed. How are we going to do this? We're going to do it in his power. Jesus baptized his disciples in his Holy Spirit so they might be his witnesses. They might become the body and be his witnesses, going out into the world as one united body of believers. His plan has not changed. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's a mystery, isn't it? Before the world was created, he said, thought, devised, we're going to become his body, holy and blameless, doing his stuff. And he's committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus came to bring everyone, everything back to God, and we are given that ministry as well, the ministry of reconciliation. This is how Jesus started his ministry. He called and sent out ordinary people to do amazing things in his name. The 12, the 72, they went out and they healed people. They cast out demons. They announced the good news of the kingdom. That's how it started, his ministry, but it's also how it finished. He says, go out, disciples. Go out in my name to make disciples. There is good news here, as I'm looking at you and I'm looking at myself. God does not choose an elite group of clever speakers. He does not choose celebrities. Beautiful people. Who are the beautiful people in Saint-Tropez? I know there's Anne Hughes and Jeff Hughes. They led a church in Saint-Tropez, so they probably led a church of beautiful people. But most of us would not describe ourselves as brilliant speakers or celebrities or beautiful people who've got everything, you know, the body all in the right place in the right way and everything else. That is not who God chooses like the world does. He chooses ordinary people. Who's ordinary? And extraordinary at the same time. Yeah, that's right, we are. Because he chooses everyone to follow him. There's nobody here today that could say, God doesn't want me. I'm not clever enough, pretty enough, handsome enough. The right age, the right size, the right... None of it. Our reading that we've just read makes it clear that there is nothing about your appearance, your family or social background, your current family circumstances, your academic ability, your geographical origins, your colour, your height, your width, your age. There is nothing that disqualifies you from being part of the body of Christ. Is that good news? All good. We got some yeses today. That is good news, isn't it? I don't have to become like somebody else, another person, other than become Christ-like. We got the message from Paul in 20 verses. As you heard that reading, some of you may have thought, I've heard this before. He does go on a bit, doesn't he? He says the same thing four times. That's the whole point. He took a long time because this is really important. He takes 20 verses to get this message across. We know from Paul, his past life was chasing Christians to have them arrested and killed. Did that disqualify him from being a child of God and part of the body of Christ? No. We know actually he was one of the reasons we're here. So nothing that you have done, once forgiven, gets in the way of God using you. That's why we had that song, Amazing Grace. And as I had said as it was playing, in the prison in Portland, the guys there who've come to faith, they have to have Amazing Grace every week. So they alternate between that one and the original version, because they want to say Amazing Grace. They know that they should not be of use to God if sins counted. But sins don't count anymore because they've all been taken away. Hallelujah. So this is a wonderful picture, but the body of Christ can fail to do what the head of the body. We needed Stephen, didn't we? We needed Stephen because he had the head. The head of the body is Jesus. And he commands the rest of the body what to do. So I'm going to tell, using my brain, my head, I'm going to tell my foot to go up. And it goes up. My arm to reach out. My voice to speak. The head of the body, Jesus, is the one in charge. But there can be a problem. Parts of the body can fall asleep. I'm not talking about Sheila who's sitting, who might go to sleep behind the mask there. I'm not talking about you, Sheila. I'm talking about if you've sat in a position for a while, have anybody ever had a dead leg or pins and needles? Oh, I got up once and one of my legs wouldn't work, so I think I fell over. And another time, I was looking at the television too long, and I sat there all afternoon, and I got up from, this is when I was very young, would never do it now, of course, sat there watching television for a long time. I got up, and I veered off to the dining room and knocked over a plant pot. I thought, what happened there? Part of my body had gone to sleep. And the body of Christ can fall asleep. The body can be distracted. You know you've got a job to do, but the phone or the TV or anything, actually, if you don't want to do it, distracts you. Our hands can become dirty and spoil what we're trying to create. Or the body can become ugly as we conform to the world's values rather than being beautiful, holy, and blameless. The body can also become out of shape. Somebody complimented me this morning on being slim. Wow! I've spoken, men are not supposed to worry about these things. Isn't that nice? I'm very proud. But no, I'm not. I'm just pleased that I'm healthy and I can cycle. But I tell you what, going up the hill of Osney Avenue, I realise how unfit I am. But the body can become out of shape. Yeah, we saw David run into the cross link. I've never seen David run. This is a fast for a running. Yes! But the body can become out of shape. Some of you, I'm not going to look at you too directly because I know you'll say to yourself, yeah, my body, I'm not talking about width, I'm just talking about not working properly. But the body can be out of shape. Too much of the wrong food. Too little exercise. The body needs to be reformed, re-energized. How does God want to reform his body at the beginning of this new season? Well, we heard in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, God has appointed particular people to play their part in the body. apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles and of healing, those with gifts of administration, helping others, and speaking in different kinds of tongues. Paul says a very similar thing in Ephesians. I'm just going to read a bit of that passage for you. Ephesians chapter 4, you can look at this for homework. I like giving homework. So have a look when you get back. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. Jesus gave those gifts. He obviously considered that all of these gifts are essential for what God wants his body to do what he's called it to do. But for a long time, much of his church has ignored some of these gifts. It's not understood them, and it's rejected them. Now, we start on safe ground, pastors and teachers. Historically, we can see that in many situations, in many whole eras, it's only these two gifts, these people gifts, either separately or together, that have been recognized, affirmed, and welcomed by the church. If you just think about it, the leaders of churches, including many ones, are called pastors. Anglican vicars are given the cure of souls for a parish, caring for the parishioners as a shepherd cares for his sheep. The pastor or the vicar is often the principal teacher in the church. And I can tell you from having been to 3 different theological colleges, training for ministry centers on theology, learning about God, study of God, teaching, and pastoral care. The thought occurs to me, and I'll leave you to reflect upon this, if these two people gifts are the only ones recognized, then there is a danger that the culture of the church can become inward-looking and static. Because our principal concern from the leadership of the church throughout the whole culture of the church is make sure everybody is looked after and well-fed. You can see this in how the church is, what it focuses on doing, and even how it prays. Don't like to analyze prayer meetings, but it is interesting. If it's a pastor-teacher culture, then you can pick it up in all sorts of ways. Where we spend our time, energy, how we pray, how we are. A question was asked a long time ago while I was away on holiday. And Leslie and I are going away for the next couple of weeks, so we won't be here for 3 Sundays. So it'll be you can have a party. You can have great fun. It's going to be a good time. But while we were away a few years ago, a speaker asked the church a question. She said, do we want a pastor who's looking after an aquarium or launching a fishing fleet? Someone looking after the aquarium, it's a fixed group of fish in a tank, and the person looking after the aquarium has to make sure the water's the right temperature, there's enough oxygen going through, there's the right food and everything else. How many churches, how often is our church like an aquarium where those looking after the aquarium are spending all that time just making sure everybody is looked after and well fed? Or is it launching a fishing fleet? equipping people to go out and catch fish. Some of you may be thinking, well, I know what the answer is supposed to be, but I'd much rather Stephen spend his time teaching me, speaking to me, looking after me, hugging me, just making sure I'm all right, and forget everybody else. That may actually be your honest answer, in which case, repent and let's start again. But I could quite easily fit into that because it's really safe. Pastoring and teaching you lot, I mean, you're a great lot. I could very happily spend all my time here. Because out there, it's really tricky and people are nasty to you. Here, you're all nice. All the time. So, we need, I believe, in this reforming, to recognize the gifts of apostles, prophets, and evangelists, because they are about movement. Apostles are sent ones, sent by God to break new ground, take risks, try new things. They're not happy with the status quo, but are always looking to see God's kingdom come. They are not comfortable people to be your leaders or leaders of groups of churches, but they are absolutely essential if we're going to go forward. Prophets, another group of people who can be very uncomfortable, but essential. Speaking God's word to the church and to the world. They're used by God to transform dry bones into living beings. Some of you were on the coast path the other day when the whole church, Southwest Awake, waking the church, was praying, looking out to sea, thanking God for the gospel, looking into the land. And what were you encouraged to do? To speak the word to the dry bones. And what happened when Ezekiel did that? If you don't know it, you'll find it in Ezekiel chapter 37. Middle of the Bible, turn right, chapter 37. Have a look at it. He spoke to dry bones, and they came together, and they became a living being. Prophets are used by God to wake up the church, to get the church to rise up, challenging, strengthening, comforting, and encouraging, to see things the way God does. That's what prophecy is about. When we hear here, often we have prophetic words brought here in prayer meetings or in the church or just in one-to-one conversations. And it's just people saying, this is what God is saying. This is God's understanding of what's going on here. Do we need that? Do we need to know what God thinks about our situation? Yes. Because I've got some great ideas, but they're no good. If they're my ideas, it's got to be God's ideas, isn't it? What's he saying? I spoke to someone the other day about them speaking prophetically, and it's a language they're not used to. Really? I said, yes. So we need to learn what it means to strengthen, comfort, and encourage by speaking God's word to each other. We practice here a bit, but we can practice in other places. And then thirdly, you have evangelists. Spreading the word, connecting with and sharing the gospel with the lost, those on the margins of society, but actually everyone and anyone. Is there anybody out there who doesn't need the gospel? No. But we're not going to get out there enough unless we have evangelists who lead us and equip us and encourage us. We're not all called to be evangelists, but we're all called to be witnesses. So, the gifts of apostles, people, help people become those who break new ground, who take new risks. Prophets equip prophets to speak God's word, and all of us to prophesy. Evangelists train evangelists, equip evangelists, but also help all of us be a bit bolder and do something we've not tried before. If we're not going out, breaking new ground, reaching new people, setting them free with the gospel of eternal life, and making disciples, is it because we've not recognized, affirmed, and welcomed these gifts? Do we really want pastors and teachers who make us feel safe and comfortable? Or do we want also those pastors and teachers who care for us and love us and equip us to also challenge us, and with those other gifts, to be out there, to go outside of our comfort zone into the world, where, quite honestly, we often don't want to go. Interesting, with the ladies, I think I mentioned to you in the ladies' meeting, we asked who are we connected with. And the answers that came back from the ladies, we had this meeting the other day, was neighbours, family, some ex-work colleagues. And that was it. The word friend wasn't mentioned. We weren't connected with people. Now, I've had a meeting subsequently with somebody, and they have friends. They're a Christian who has non-Christian friends. Hallelujah. And they're on really good terms with them. They know them really well. It's hard work because two of them have fallen out with each other and they won't speak to each other, they won't be with each other. They're caught in the middle. It's much easier to come to church. But thank God that this person is there. So we need to be challenged to be out there in the world. Jesus made it very clear, these gifts are given to prepare God's people for works of service so the whole body may be built up. Do not fall into the trap of, we need an apostle, a prophet, or an evangelist. We need someone like Debbie. You know, Debbie's a pioneer minister. Right, okay, Debbie, all our work with people who need help with their mental health and well-being is down to you. Because we're paying you for 2 days a week, and now we've done that, we'll give the money, we don't do anything, you do it all. Are you happy with that? You can take your mask off and answer me. Oh, that's so polite. No. That would have completely missed the point, wouldn't it? When I was meeting with Debbie, I needed to know that Debbie was someone who could encourage and equip you. However good Debbie is, she wouldn't be coming here if she could just do that. Do it herself. No use to us at all. She's here for 2 years, then she's gone. We're no different. In 2 years' time, will we be people who understand and care and come alongside and make disciples of a whole group of people that before we were not sure how I can help here? Yes, we will be. Hallelujah. So, get excited now. The other thing to think about, and this is something, I can't talk much about it now, but it's something really important you think about. These gifts are given, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, not so people here on a Sunday morning do stuff on its own. Stuff will happen here if these gifts are affirmed and welcomed. But that's not the limit. The whole idea is these gifts are given so we become those who care and teach and witness and speak God's word in our home, our street, our place of work. Who here, as part of their work, cares for other people? Part of their work, their paid work. Okay, have a good look. Have a good look around, congregation. See the people, put your hands up just a moment. I'll just use this, thank you, just using this as an example. So pastors are given to equip Angela and Grace and Mike and Karen and so on to be pastoral in their employment. Who cares for their families, particularly for children? Who cares for children here? Who has children responsible to care for? I do, adult children, but I mean, who cares for their children? Right, yeah. Where do you think that came from? Came from God. If we have good pastoral gifts being exercised, you will become better at caring for your children. If there's new things you have to do in work, new things, new challenges, new things that God's calling you to do, an apostle gift, whether in this church or in a group of churches, will equip you in God's name to do new things that are really difficult, but to break new ground. I want to leave you to think about that. These gifts are not about just doing stuff in church. It's to equip us for the whole of life and the whole of our ministry. So, reform. Let's have all these gifts operating. And then reorganize. What does it mean for us? How does God want us to reorganize so we're all involved in his mission? He doesn't want us to do everything we were doing before COVID-19 arrived. He doesn't want us to do everything that we were doing in the same way. He also wants us to do new things. How do we know what he wants? Thankfully, as David reminded us last week, Jesus is the good shepherd and we know his voice. So Jesus will tell us. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And the Lord has promised to show us his ways. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. I will teach you in the way that you should go. None of this need make us fear and worried or confused. Just quietly, God will show us what to do. Our Sunday gatherings here are very important. They're very precious. It's here that the whole body meets, where we worship together, pray together, learn together, minister together as a whole multi-generational family. I believe in Sunday morning gatherings, or Sunday gatherings, however they are. But it's not enough. It's not enough. As people have found who've only been coming on a Sunday morning before COVID, it's not enough. We need to be able to build one another up, pray for one another, learn how to use spiritual gifts, reach out to others who don't know Jesus and make disciples. We need to gather in other ways to do that. We need to discover how to use God's gift of hospitality really well, to be building the life of the body together, to welcome others in. We need one-to-one time with our Father in heaven. We also need time with family or friends that we can be vulnerable with and accountable to. Someone will ask us, how's your relationship with God going? You know, have you got somebody who can ask that question? If not, you need somebody. God is calling us to join with him in going out and about, to make disciples. And to do that, we need to reorganize as church. All those different ways, big groups or little groups, they're all discipleship. It's all part of the same thing. One of the things that you'll hear more about coming up, I'm only going to briefly talk about it now because we need to move on, but small groups. Churches are used to having small groups. And we're going to share more in the church meeting coming up on Tuesday, August the 3rd. So do put that in your diary. If it's not already there, do come along on Tuesday, August the 3rd. We're going to be sharing the idea of having new discipleship groups. When I came here, there were about a quarter of the congregation in Bible study groups, and that was it. And now none of them are meeting. So we've got a clean sheet of paper, a white sheet of paper, to start again. And the idea is to have discipleship groups about making disciples, being discipled and making discipled, but based around a form of outreach. In discipleship groups or Bible study groups, I've often shared with leaders four W's: welcome, worship, word, and witness. And those, all four of those need to be in our small groups. And we're quite good on the welcome. Most people make a decent cup of tea or coffee. And people are free to take part, which is what welcome really means. Worship, focused on the Lord. That's the important thing. He's at the center. It doesn't mean singing. It means he's at the center. The word of God. Often that's what they're formed for, to read God's word. But what is missing often? It's the witness. It's the reaching out. And so those groups just stay as they are. They don't grow in number. They might grow in some ways, but they're not growing in enabling people to reach out. So how about we do it the other way around? We start with an area of outreach, whether it's Friday morning coffee, whether it's reaching out to a care home, whether it's doing stuff on the streets, whether it's worship, and whatever it is might be. It will have at the center a form of outreach, men's ministry, craft group, whatever it might be. That will be the center. And then we'll gather around a leader, those who have a passion and interest for that form of ministry. So no longer will it be, oh, there's a group of us, what shall we do? It was quite obvious what we do, because that's how we came together in the first place. You'll need welcome, worship, and the word to equip you, to care for you, to help you when it's been a difficult week. That all still needs to be there. But the focus needs to be changed. More of that will come. So, coming back to our reading in 1 Corinthians 12, let's remind of what God has said. Recognize who you are. Every one of you is an essential part of the body of Christ. Every one of you. Be united, but God has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body. Be committed to one another. Its parts should have equal concern for each other. Who stubbed a toe? If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Who's the big toe today? One of you is the big toe today. We don't necessarily know, but one of you is the big toe today. One of you is really, I need the rest of the body to go with me. It'll pass. When you stub your toe, eventually it does come back. Well, the toe doesn't go. You know what I mean? But if its parts have equal concern for each other, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. That's what being a family. And then the last verse. Go for it, but eagerly desire the greater spiritual gifts that build the body up. The context of that is prophecy and so on that builds the body up. Let's go for those gifts that build the body up. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for making me, making each one of us part of your body. You call me, you call everyone here your friend, because you show us what the Father is doing. Help us to play our part fully for your glory. Please give to us those gifts that you choose and help us to learn how to use them. Amen. Okay, it's picture time. So, what have your bodies been doing? Does anybody show me what your bodies have been doing? Have you done a body? What's your body doing? Do you want to just pick it up and show me, Colin? So come up here a bit. Right. If you stand here and then hold, show them, that's right. What is it there? So what is your body doing?
It's sack racing.
You're sack racing. Do you like sack racing? You did it yesterday. So your body, you imagine the number of parts of your body that have to be coordinated. You had to get toes right in the corner of the sack, stand you and hold it. Who did sack racing? And who fell over? Same number of people, it's obvious. I mean, you can't. Yes, wonderful. So, with our bodies, we could do sack racing. You can make your own spiritual implications of what this really means, this lesson, but it's trying something new. I mean, there was a time when you had never done sack racing. Was it yours the first time yesterday? First time. So, there we are. You have broken new ground. You've tried something you've never done before, and it was good. We need to learn that. Because God's saying, look, let's have a go at this, shall we? You're going to really enjoy it once you do it. But we think, me in a sack, I don't fit. There you go. So what's your body doing, Taya? What's your body doing? Tell me what he's doing.
Playing tennis.
Can you show them? It's a lovely body. This is a very elegant tennis player. Excellent. Playing tennis. And what's your body doing, Paul? Tell me what your body's doing. Or Mum can.
Reading.
That's great. So we've got reading, playing tennis, and sack racing. Is that a bit of a nice mixture? That's good, isn't it? It's really good. So let's just pray. I've put down in my... I do a service, send a service out by email, as you know, and post it out every week. And I put here on my service notes, We've all been given the ability to pray. We could all ask the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. Sometimes he directs us using spiritual gifts, words of knowledge, wisdom, visions, prophetic words. Let's ask him to show us how to pray today. So we're going to have a time of quiet, and if God gives you a word or a picture or a scripture to help us pray, then just bring it. This is a safe place, and we're all here together. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for these three children who have shown us different things in their lives, and help us to encourage them. It's just a joy to see them.
Thank you, Lord.
And I ask your blessing on them for today and through the coming week.
Yes, sir.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, help us to notice you working and recognize your gifting in every single person that we meet.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to finish our prayer time with a prayer that Mark put in the Keeping in Touch this week from the prayer shield, which really helps us to understand what the Lord's desire is. Dear Lord, I ask that you would stir up a desire, a hunger, a passion to go after the lost, those who are yet to know you in a personal way. May we as the church do all we can to equip the saints, to teach, to train, and release those in our church, to make a difference in their world. Give people the boldness, the courage, the wisdom needed to share the hope-renewing, heart-changing, life-transforming good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the early church came together to break bread, worship, and pray, then you added to the church daily those who were being saved. Lord, as we unite together, different denominations, different backgrounds, different ministries, may you move in this nation like never before. May we see a harvest of souls and an outpouring of your Spirit, a shift in this country's thinking as we humble ourselves before you and seek your face. We declare revival. Revival in our homes, revival in our communities, and revival in our churches. May every single tongue confess that you are their Lord and their Savior In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it great we're led in prayer by someone we've never met and won't see until heaven? And that's what God is doing. He's bringing his heart to us through lots of different people. And now we're finishing with our personal response. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.